day in Berlin. I was just standing around. A rather rainy day in Berlin. Rain on the ground. Rain with rain all day in Berlin. My, it was wet on the ground. Rained on the trains and ran down the drains. Rain all around. Lord, how it poured all over Berlin. Oh my God, how it come down. Cats and dogs all day in Berlin.
Sing for you, I've got two legs.
I've got two legs from my hips to the ground, and when I move them, they walk around, and when I lift them, they climb the stairs, and when I shave them, they ain't got hairs. I've got two.
Morning, Mr. Granville.
Morning, Doctor. The cough's nearly better now.
Good, good, good. Jolly good. I'm afraid we're going to have to take the leg off, though.
What?
I'm afraid so, old chap. Probably the arm as well.
The arm? Why the arm?
To get to the leg. It's rather in the way.
I could hold the arm out of the way.
Oh, well, that's fine, if you'd rather do that.
Yes, please. Why do you want the leg, sir?
Well, if we remove it now, it'll give the others a chance to grow. You see, if you get one badly infected tooth, it can limit the survival of all the others.
Tooth?
A leg. Leg. Right. I mean, I don't want to take the leg off, believe me. I mean, it means I've got to stay late on Thursday. I give up two smashing seats at Covent Garden. I'm up at crack of dawn anyway. And quite frankly, the last thing I'll feel like is taking someone's leg off.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Well, don't worry. It's just that taking people's limbs off doesn't exactly top my list of things to do on a Thursday evening. Anyway, they'll give you bags of anaesthetic. You won't feel a thing. You wake up Friday morning and they'll be gone.
They?
It'll be gone. I guarantee you won't know which one's missing.
Oh, good.
Any preferences?
Good. Well, we'll take one or other of your,
legs.
Legs off on Thursday. Right.
Oh, great.
So began one of the most extraordinary love stories in the history of British surgery. The love of a one-legged patient for his testy, erratic, mentally unstable, but brilliant surgeon. A story that culminated in the surgeon extracting his own appendix in a Hull bookshop. Next week on Love Story, we examine the curiously moving tale of Lucy Quango, a Cabotos's daughter, who eloped with a window cleaner by mistake and became the first transsexual to head a major British corporation. And finally, here's a police message. Inspector Carpenter of the Special Patrol Group, can you please ring Eileen and Brenda?
Mr. Granville?
Yes?
Hello, my name's Turner. I'm the staff psychiatrist here at the hospital. Have you got a moment?
Yes.
I just wanted to reassure you about the doctor you've just seen. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him, though obviously, of course, we wouldn't let him loose on someone's brain or anything absolutely vital. But he is a damn good surgeon, and he's just... Well, he's been under a lot of pressure recently. He ordered a Rover 3000 in January. It arrived second week of May. Wrong colour, different wheel trim. No radio, and this was after he'd phoned up the dealer almost every week and had been promised instant delivery. The whole thing blew up slap-bang in the middle of his Easter holiday, so he had to fly back from the Algarve at a day's notice. Anyway, he is a very experienced surgeon, and we think the worst thing is to stop him doing operations at a time when his confidence needs boosting with a really good one. And as I say, if he likes you, and if everything should go well, there's absolutely no reason why in 6 months or a year you shouldn't go on a camping holiday together.
Next, please.
Hello, and welcome to
another edition of Adventure. And this week we're going to take a look at deep sea diving. And here to tell us all about it is Mr. Albert Thomas. Now, Mr. Thomas, I understand you're a deep sea diver.
No, I'm an insurance agent.
You what?
I'm an insurance agent.
I had, as it were, been given to understand that you were, in fact, a deep sea diver. Oh,
no, no.
Yes, I see. Yes. Have you ever been a deep sea diver at any stage of your career?
No, nothing like that, no.
Fine. Okay, well, we seem to have a few minutes left. So, would you mind if I asked you a few questions about selling insurance?
Oh, please, fire away.
Thank you. Tell me, what is the greatest depth at which you've ever worked?
Well, I should say about 12 feet, probably, sub-basement level.
12 feet?
Well, I never.
And while you're selling insurance, do you wear any special apparatus, you know, like a nose clip, goggles, anything like that?
No.
Tell me, Mr. Thomas, what have you been doing your insurance business? Silly thing to ask, really. But have you ever been attacked by any large fish? You know, sharks, killer herrings, hammer-headed prawns?
No, nothing like that.
No, I see. Right.
I once trod on an orange.
What?
I once trod on an orange.
Really?
Yes.
You actually trod on an orange?
On an orange, yes.
Good heavens! Oh, dear, what a small world it is. Good Lord, fancy treading on an orange like that. Well, I know. I mean, you actually trod on it.
Yes, right on it.
But what sort of an orange? This is absolutely fascinating. I mean, what sort of an orange was it that you trod on when you trod on it?
It was just an ordinary orange. That's all I trod on. Yeah.
Now, at this stage, Mr. Thomas, we were going to ask you to sing a few traditional sea shanties. Do you have any traditional insuring shanties that you sing as you go insuring your way?
No, we don't have anything like that.
No, you don't. Well, why should you? I suppose you wouldn't like to ask me anything about being a television interviewer, would you?
Oh, wait a minute. I've just remembered an old insurance shanty.
Oh, do sing it.
'Twas in my youth I ran away to accountancy one day with pen and paper, collar and stud. Accountancy was in my blood.
I'll scribble away and balance the books and sing an accountancy shanty.
I chartered an accountant at the age of 21.
I'll scribble away and balance the books and sing an accountancy shanty.
So raise a glass of medium dry sherry to the golden age of VAT.
I'll fiddle away and open the books and wait. Hey, form a partnership.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, madame. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I should have welcomed the madame first. No offense to you, sir. I am so stupid. Let me take a coat.
Well, we don't have any.
Oh dear. That is no reflection on your dignity. Why should you have coats in this day and age, monsieur? Let me take something, though. Let me take a tie. I will have it pressed. Although, I do not mean it is creased, but I will have it pressed. Oh, press your suit. Oh, but I'm forgetting her ladyship. She is looking radiant tonight. Oh, but I said she always looks radiant. Oh, what a fool. I could kick myself. I will kick myself. Oh. Such a fool am I. Oh, now what am I doing? I am so full of idle chatter, I've not set you down. Please sit down here. Your ladyship here, please. The chair is very clean. My staff have been licking it clean all day long. Is it clean enough?
Yes, really.
If not, I shall lick it clean for you now. Please allow me.
No, really, it's very, very clean.
And you, my ladyship, is your chair clean? Oh, la, la. There is dust on it. Oh, don't touch. Jamshid. Are you coming? There is dust upon this chair. Oh! Take it away! Immediately! Take it away and burn it! Burn it up! But first, unwrap a new chair and bring it here for my lord.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, my lord. You are visiting a pigsty. Excuse me while I punish myself.
Thank you.
What? Unwrap it! You fool, unwrap it for his grace. I am sorry to see what it is. Now, voila, the menus, your worships. What have I done? I have given the princess her menu the wrong way up. Oh, banging my head against the wall and kicking myself. Oh, I'm banging and I'm kicking.
Do you recommend the Madras chicken curry?
Oh, it is wonderful. But for you, it will be.
Is that hot?
Yes, it is hot.
Oh, no, I don't like it too hot.
Oh, not too hot, not too hot. No, not hot at all. No, it's extremely cool.
Oh, because I like it medium.
Medium, that's what it is. Very, very extremely medium. Medium beyond belief. Your Grace, let me wash your feet.
No.
Let me lick them then. Oh, dear, I'm neglecting your Imperial Highness. What a baboon I am. What a fiend. What a festering sore I am. Please, you stab me with your fork, Your Majesty.
No, really. One Madras curry.
Then, please, I must be flambéed alive. First the brandy. Now, set fire to me, celestial being. I must be punished. Also, I shall be delicious.
And the prawn dansack?
Then I must do it myself. The fork. The bottle. And now, open the oven, Jamshid. I must jump inside.
Oh. Well, food's not terribly good, but the atmosphere is different, doesn't it?
Send him into the studio, will you?
Ah, good morning, Minister.
Morning. I have to get back to the Commons for debate, so can I get straight on with it?
Yes, certainly, Minister. If you want to practice, then just let me know when you feel confident.
No, I'm ready.
Okay, roll in.
Light as a golden bubble, rising high in the sky. Read by Baxter's for your kids, gives us something you should try. Is it okay, I must dash.
Hello.
Hello.
Undertaker.
What do you want?
I'm an undertaker. Anybody dead today?
What?
Anybody dead today?
No.
Oh, pity. Still. Just checking.
I think you must have the wrong address.
No, just trying my luck. I'm freelance. So, you haven't got anyone you want buried?
No.
Sure, professionally, with discount.
No, I think I would know if there was anybody here who was dead.
Nobody you want just dumped?
No, thank you.
No bodies hanging around?
Nothing? No.
Still, no harm in asking.
Yes, thank you very much.
Be lucky. Oh,
Yes?
Anybody ill?
No!
Anybody a bit weak?
No, thank you.
You know, I don't mind waiting. I've got the hearse outside.
No, thank you very much indeed.
Who's the oldest in the house?
Why?
No reason. Any smokers live here?
No, look, we've all given up. Thank you very much.
You don't look too good.
I feel fine. Thank you.
Are you sure?
Never felt better. Now, thank you very much.
That's often the sign. Perhaps I'd better stick around.
Go away.
Any elderly cats?
Go away.
Decrepit dogs, moribund mice?
Get out.
Terminal tortoises?
Go away.
Bloody undertakers. Never around when you need them. Wait a minute. I forgot about a dead Mormon choir on the landing.
Okay, man. Here we go. Hold that for me, baby. Hold it. Here we go. Run, keep blue. Why do you look so sad? And always rather sit in them. But it's really not that bad. Lion.
Would you rather have been Willoughby, or Eustace, Keith, or Ken? Hamish, Andrew, Tristram, Dudley, Lloyd, or Ben? Rudyard. I wish I knew.
You wish you knew, honey.
Were you happy being you? Or would you rather have been alone?
Hey, come on.
Rudyard.
Why do you wear a frown? You could have been called Cyril. And your
surname
would
be
round.
Roger!
Come on, let's go to the back of the truck.
What
the
fuck?
I can't imagine the jungle.
Back in the box,
all right. By Ranil. Or by Vic. Or Kim. Or Paku. Pook's Hill. By Cindy Lou. Or Mick.
Yeah, honey,
you
ever seen one like this?
Ruddy hard it had to be.
Hey,
old
buddy,
down shop. Ruddy
hard
it was.
What?
Ruddy hard, I wish.
Figure you, honey. Put your number on
it. Really? Make it cross.
I don't think
my hand should be up. Rudyard, can't play. Why do you wear that frown? You could just be called Cyril. And get the name called Baby Brown. Rudyard. Rudyard.
Here is a special message.
We apologize for the low level of humor on this album. This is due to a dispute over a wage-indexed productivity bonus, which means that the writers are on a go-slow. We would like to apologize to the public and assure them that we don't give a shit.
Come in. Good morning. Do come in.
Thank you.
Do sit down now. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm interested in your memory training course.
Oh, good. Well, a lot of people feel that they'd like to improve their memories, and the wonderful thing is, improving them is not as hard as, nails.
I beg your pardon?
As hard as nails. It's word association. You see, the basis of my system. You remember things by associating with people like that.
People like what?
They like to improve their memory. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm interested in your course.
Good. You remember that, you see? You've learned to associate your interest in my course with my asking why you're here. You see? Association of ideas. It's the basis of everything we do to acquire a better memory. But it's not as hard as,
I'd think.
No, hard as nails. Remember? Never mind. You'll soon pick it up. Now, take a common object like this.
A saucer.
Good. Well done. Now, what does it make you think of? What would you like to think of?
Like to think of?
A nude woman.
A nude woman?
Well done. You're getting it. And what is the nude woman doing?
Drinking tea.
Good. And what's she drinking tea out of?
A cup.
Quite right. Cup and saucer. It's a saucer. Do you get the idea?
Well, I'm not sure.
What is the association of ideas? That's the basis of our method. Indeed, of the whole hole in the wall. And what do I see? Through the hole in the wall, a nude woman. Every time.
Every time?
Of course, it's such a strong image. You can't forget that. And you associate that with anything you want to remember. Anything. Numbers, dates, names. Try me.
Battle of Trafalgar.
Trafalgar Square, hole in the wall, look through the hole in the wall, what do I see?
A nude woman.
Excellent. Who is this nude woman?
I don't know.
The Empress Josephine, 1815. Rhymes, you see? Josephine, 1815.
1815 was Waterloo, Trafalgar was 1805.
Wait a minute, I haven't finished it. Josephine's wearing boots, Wellington boots, you can't see her toes, so deduct the 10 you can't see from 1815, 1805. Simple.
All right, the date of Waterloo.
1815.
Yes, but how do you do it?
Battle of Waterloo, Waterloo Station, train to Brighton, Brighton Pier, through the hole in the wall, and there's the Empress Josephine in the new Josephine, 1815.
But you've got to deduct 10. She's got Wellington boots on.
No. Battle of Waterloo, Duke of Wellington. In he comes, wants his boots back, so we see her toes. No need to deduct 10. Waterloo, 1815. See?
Fire of London?
What?
The date of the Fire of London.
Let me think. Fire of London. Fire, fiery, diary, Samuel Pepys. Yes, Pepys wrote in this diary about the Fire of London. Samuel Pepys, through the hole in the wall. What did he see?
A nude woman?
No. Three nude women. By the light of the fire, he sees three stunning, gorgeous nude women. 666, 1666. Easy, is it? Foolproof. Now, if you'd like to sign here...
The death of Charles I.
Where it says, for the rest of my life...
The execution of Charles I.
What's the matter? Don't you trust the system?
No.
Very well. Charles I, beheaded by Oliver Cromwell. Cromwell Road. Cromwell Road Terminal, Heathrow Airport, plane to New Delhi, train to Lucknow. Look now, through the hole in the wall, and what do you see? A stunning, very young, nude woman. Who is it?
Harriet Beecher Stowe.
No, it's Nell Gwynn. Just reached the age of consent, so there she is, banging away with Charles I, 1649.
How do you get 1649?
Oh, come on, 16, age of consent.
What about the 49?
It's Charles I, lost his head, so she's giving him head. Giving it to him, he's giving it to her. They both got boots on, deduct 20, 49. 16, 49. Now, if you'll just sign here...
This system of yours is dirty.
You want to see the brochure?
No, I don't. I don't want the brochure and I don't want your course. I'm none other than Mr. Kehoe Pinney. President of the Campaign Against Filth and Blasphemy. And we're going to ban this memory training system of yours in Swansea, Harrogate, East Devon, Preston, Glasgow, Staines, Ewell, Guildford, Bournemouth, Watford, Yeovil, Dudley, Stourbridge, Quinton, Luton, Weston-super-Mare, Plymouth, Torquay, Paignton, Sidmouth, Eastbourne, Bishop Auckland, Wigan, Jersey, Haverford West, the whole of Berkshire, the whole of Cornwall. And why are we banning it? Because we are the ones who know what's disgusting. We don't have to see a pigsty to know it stinks, ladies and gentlemen. It's an insult to decency. Right-thinking people. Not that we'd ever have anything to do with it anyway. And even if we did, it wouldn't harm us. Never. It would never harm us. Only other people. who aren't as mentally stable and mature as we are. Thank you.
So you don't want the call?
No.
In a nutshell, the problem of the CFJ has arisen from a dispute amongst the members of the PPFC who have decided to appeal to the NTSU for permission to take action against the LSM in their dispute with the NFOR. The NFO itself has come out firmly against the CYP, accusing the BFO of not listening to the KY or even the more moderate CSI, and rejecting the report of the BACON on AK achievements during the current BFP in favour of the STSCP. This dispute, which arose last MAY, has spread to the TFO, which is itself appealing against a BRN ruling to the GLM against the PYB elements of the NPU. Well, will it be Mugambi's FNP, or can Harkin's DNY provide last-minute support to the FTO to bolster the failing appeal of the BFN FUCKYOU? Or is it simply too late to understand just what is going on here? This is Ronald Allison in MANC.
Manchester.
Thank you.
Turn that rubbish off. People like that should be drummed off the media.
What, squaw?
Drummed off the media. That man shouldn't be cluttering up the wave bands when there are vital issues to be aired.
Well, he was only an ordinary bloke, wouldn't he, sir?
Oh, pardon my holistic error. Excuse me while I nip down my well of personal experience and revitalize myself in the stream of common consciousness. Yes, that's better. Oh, yes, I see it. Yin-yang. Action and reaction. That bloke's dribble was as a counterbalance for my own clarity of thought when I said, turn that rubbish off.
You always like this, sir.
Why should I be categorised as being like this merely because I'm telling it like it is?
Look, mate, I don't know what you're on about, but I'm here to sell radios.
My poor fellow, does that summarise your lot? I am a seller of radios, period. I would like to take issue with you on your limited vision of yourself. Now, my good fellow, what are you doing here?
Selling radios.
No, no. What are you doing here on this earth? What is your prime function?
Sell more radios.
That, at least, would be ambition. No, try again. My meaning eludes you. You sell radios, right?
Yes.
Now, what do radios do?
Play music.
Yes, and?
News bulletins.
Mm, and?
Well, that's entertainment, isn't it?
Is it? We'll let that pass. Now, we had reached a point where your description of a radio's function encompassed music, news, and, for the nonce in parenthesis, entertainment.
Are you from an ohm of some kind?
An ohm? An ohm? I see. Now you postulate my voluntary commitment to some asylum or psychiatric outpatients, possibly. Far from it, young man. What I am driving at are bigger issues. Radios are for communications.
I suppose so, yeah.
Well, supposed, at last. Now, young man, do you not see? Is that not clear now? Your life is not fettered to the humdrum of this counter. You should conceive your life as that of a bringer of tidings, a purveyor of communications, the very fabric of our human soul. You could, if you chose with reason, liken yourself to Hermes himself, the patron of merchants and messengers. Yes, young man, a veritable Greek god. I sell radios, indeed. You mock yourself. Now, suddenly, doesn't everything, a purpose, become clearer to you?
Oh, yes, sir. It does, as a matter of fact, yes.
Good, good. Splendid fellow. Now, having been at pains to establish some kind of rapport, please, could you mend this radio?
What's wrong with it?
The socket for the power plug has come adrift.
Ah, sounds simple enough, yeah. You bought the machine from us, did you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think so, sir.
What?
No, we don't stock that model, I'm afraid.
I did buy it here.
No, sir. 2E, yes, but this is a 2EL. We don't stock them, sir.
You did?
Never.
Really? So hard-won rapport is cast to the wind. Well, it just so happens that I'm ahead of you this time. I've had trouble of this kind here before, not only in this shop, but in this country in general. Avoidance of responsibility is as English as toasted muffins. I shall ignore that. You will not destroy my flow. I have a sales docket here headed Studio Sounds. This is Studio Sounds, isn't it?
Yes, sir, but there are several studios.
142 Greencroft Place, London, England, the universe, the world.
Yes.
It states quite clearly, sold on the 8th of January, 1980, one cassette recorder number 2EL.
Could I have a look at that, sir? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I see, sir. There has been an error.
Good. So if you would effect the repair...
Repair? No, I can't do that, sir. You see, there's the error. It says number 2EI, not L, that's an I.
No, good try, but I'm afraid not. There is no such thing as a model 2EI or 2E1. That, my lad, is an L. Here is the maker's catalogue.
Well, no one in this shop would have written it. 2EL. We don't sell them. Never have.
Well, they did.
But?
Yeah?
We never sold 2ELs, have we?
Never heard of them.
This gentleman, Mr. Fang, was here with me at the time and was a witness to the sale.
Yes, I came with this gentleman. I took the Polaroid of him buying the Ricardo in this shop.
Now wriggle out of that.
All right, look, we're very busy at the moment. I can't take one of my electronic engineers off whatever he's doing just to do a little thing like that. But I'll tell you what, you leave it with us and I'll do my best for you.
When would it be ready?
Oh, 9 months.
No. Now, look here. I rang this shop before bothering to come down here with precognition of your obstructive policies, and your managing director, Mr. Kyle's plate, said this. May I use your machine?
Yes, sir, just bring it in and we'll fix it in a jiffy, as you're an old customer.
Oh, why didn't you say you're an old customer? Oh.
You mean bringing back the recorder, the receipt, a manufacturer's catalogue, a witness of the sale and a Polaroid flash of the event was insufficient evidence. And had I not had the foresight to record my conversation with your managing director, I would have completely wasted my time?
Frankly, yes, sir.
So I surmised. Now, I have to warn you and all your staff that this shop is surrounded by armed men. Kindly inform all your workmates that I wish to have words with them.
Sorry, sir. Tea break. All right, everyone.
Now, I am loath to use firearms, but my experience with British industry in general has forced me into this position. Your job, each one of you, is to sell hi-fi equipment and to provide a reasonable after-sale service as written out in your guarantees. This is not a tricky job. It does not require years of painstaking research, hours of book learning, or supreme physical fitness. You are paid a reasonable wage, otherwise you presumably would not be fools enough to be here at all. Am I right? Now, given that, why will you not enhance your own lives and those of people around you by rendering the services to which, by your presence, you lay claim?
Oh, well, should we?
I beg your pardon?
Well, who do you think you are?
Ah, you again. Just read the name at the top of that sales docket.
Mr. Armageddon.
Correct. And better luck in your next incarnation. Mr. Fang, let us leave.